Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I was in the room, not far from you, Mr. President. Could hear what sounded like gunshots or commotion.
Right.
People nearby could smell the gunpowder. Everybody hit the floor. How worried were you that there were going to be injuries?
I wasn't worried. I understand life. We live in a crazy world.
Okay. People nearby could smell the gunpowder? What? John, you've been around guns a lot.
Oh, yes, sir, I have.
I mean, okay, at a shooting range, indoor, you know, when there's been a lot. I mean, okay, but people nearby could smell the gun. Like, not in the room.
Layered, not layered, no.
Not like where he was. It's just a weird.
Not through the layered security.
It's a weird question. Okay, anyway, so Nora O'Donnell on 60 Minutes last night, talking to the president about his reaction to the, well, you know, I think you'd have to say the attempted third or fourth or, I mean, third, I guess, officially attempted assassination of him and or his, you know, senior leadership.
You mentioned the first lady. Her face, she looked very alarmed. Was she scared?
Well, I don't want to say, and people don't like having it said that they were scared, but certainly, I mean, who wouldn't be when you have a situation like that? By that time, I think she realized ahead of time that that was more of a bullet than it was a tray. And she was, I looked at her face just a little while ago before I came. I saw the scene. They played it for me in, you know, pretty good close-up. And she looked very upset about what just took place. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Of course. And obviously he's had much more direct experience with all of this. But, you know, based on the sound of it, it's hard to tell what was happening and in the distance. And was it shooting? Was it machine noise? Was it a drop tray? You know, and things happen pretty quickly. And, you know, in a situation like that, when you're inside the the Secret Service perimeter, great. The way my brain works now, I got pictures of like agents with walkers, you know, the Social Security perimeter. Here's your check, sonny. You
know, can't spend it all in one place.
Oh, man. My brain is a weird place to be in sometimes. Anyway,
yeah, I know.
You're inside the Secret Service perimeter. You know, you think it's all safe because I remember being at the, you know, at the conventions. And inside, I'm like, all good. Everything's good in here. And then, you know, so people aren't on their guard. They're, you know, you might be like, I don't know, when I go to a movie theater or when I go out to eat or you go to the store, I always think about how, well, these are places where things happen. You know, and I'm always caring. So these are things where I might have to respond to things that are happening. And you look for your exits and pay attention and think about what, you know, what are you doing? Which way do you sit? Facing the door, all that kind of stuff. You know, but when you're in a ballroom and the Secret Service is protecting you, like, I can relax. I'm good. It's like when I go to an event at the sheriff's office. I'm good. You know, we're good.
I'm really
it's
good.
All fine. Anyway, so they're not thinking about all that. And then all of a sudden this stuff happens. And, you know, it's not just the normal level of you might have to react to an event, but, you know, in a place where you particularly would have just assumed everything's fine. And it really was. I mean, this is the very outer layer of the defenses. This was not ever really a threat to the president in the sense of, like, obviously Butler was, you know, he almost died. This was not like that. Not that it wasn't serious. Not that it shouldn't be newsworthy. It certainly is for all kinds of reasons. But anyway, she asks him, you know, as he's getting evacuated off the stage, like, slowly, you know, they got J.D. Vance out of their zip-zop and then, you know, 20 seconds later, they come to get the president, and he's finally, you know, they get him on, they kind of down on the ground as a, you know, I guess they told him to get down on his knees or something, or he fell, or who knows. Anyway, he says they told him to get, that's fine. You know, I don't have any reason to doubt that.
What was your thought at that moment? What did the first lady say?
Well, my thought was, you know, I've been through this before a couple of times, and she has not to this extent. She handled it great. I mean, she's very strong.
And by the way, I mean, this is so true. It has to. I hate saying it's just true, but it cannot not be true. I mean, I'm sure Melania Trump has been through drills with the Secret Service. I'm sure they all do that, you know? So you practice so that when it actually happens, you're not caught off guard and you kind of, you know, best chance to follow orders, right?
Smart. She got it. She knew what was happening. She listened. I did too, by the way.
Because this was the first time
she was. When they said drop down, that meant trouble. And obviously I'm the president and I listened to what they said. Please drop down, sir. Please drop down. So I was walking halfway and then I dropped down at the final because we had little ways to go where you're exposed to the ballroom surroundings. And then I got up and we went to a hold room for a while. And I tried to get them to continue the event if possible.
You wanted to go back in.
I did. I really did.
And he said that at the time, you know, the brief press conference they did maybe 2 hours after the incident itself. And he came out and said, I wanted to go back in. I fought like hell to go back in and continue the event. And then he kind of mused about how, well, I don't know that my speech would have really been as appropriate since it was pretty ferocious, you know, as the job of the president in these circumstances is to give a speech that's going to shred. And it's a roast, but a very targeted roast. He's like, I don't know that we should have given that speech. So maybe it's a good thing. And there was no practical way for them to continue the event after everybody in had gone out and the perimeter was no longer secure in the same kind of way. And, you know, are you going to really bring everybody back in after there's been a shooting and even of this sort and make it happen? I mean, they could have theoretically. Anyway, we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident on Mobile Highway and North Kirk Street. It's onto the side of the road, but I'm seeing some minor slowdowns right there on Mobile Highway. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to President Trump last night on 60 Minutes with Nora O'Donnell.
What was your thought at that moment? What did the first lady say?
Well, my thought.
Oh, excuse me. I think I just played that one here.
You can see the gunman running through the metal detectors, and he fired off one or two rounds.
His speed was rather incredible, actually. It was like a blur.
How did he get that close with the place swarming with security?
I will say, look, I say it because I'm a big fan of the people of law enforcement. And, you know, some of these people, they may be crazy, but they're not stupid, and they figure things out. He ran 45 yards, they say, and he just went to it, and then, boom, he popped through it. I mean, he ran like I think the NFL should sign him up. He was fast. When you look at it on tape, it's almost like a blur.
Right.
But it was amazing because as soon as they saw that, you could see them draw their guns. They were so professional, aimed their guns, and then they took them down immediately.
Yeah, it's so President Trump, right? I mean, he's really fast. You know, the NFL should sign him up, right? You know, for the 45-yard shotgun carry. Just, you know, I mean, it's funny the way his brain works, too. Anyway, so then, did you watch this at all last night, John?
No, sir, I didn't.
Did you? There is one part. So they've got the manifesto or the writings or the ramblings or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, by the way, the guy was not shot. He was tackled, which is just raises a lot of questions for me. It's weird. Not questions. Oh, my God. These people that are, this was a false flag operation. This is a Hollywood production. You guys are part of the problem. I mean, honestly, if your reaction to the president had a third assassination attempt against him, is to pretend it's not real or, you know, to not just imagine, like, logically, is it possible that this was a production or a fake, but to think that people who believe it was real are idiots for believing that. I've seen all kinds of comments like that on social media. It's crazy. Even a former president of the White House Correspondents Association, MS Now commentators, like, what's wrong with our people that they think this, you know? Well, you know, maybe the environment that has been created around this president for the last, you know, since the golden elevator or escalator, you know, like it just, yes, there's a long tradition of hatred in politics and criticism and sharp words. That's the First Amendment. That's fine. And there have always been haters on, you know, haters of Obama, haters of Bush, haters of, you know, Pelosi. And I mean, everybody. OK, that's normal in American politics. The things surrounding Trump are just, it's the next level entirely. It really is. And you say, well, that's because he's the next level entirely. Okay, true. But, you know, maybe just momentarily pause your victim blaming. Because, you know, maybe look in the mirror for a second and ask, what am I doing to contribute to a civil society as opposed to an incivil society? I mean, I know it's hard to do, but still kind of worth doing. All right, so this is the... I'm going to play this, and I'm going to apologize in advance for playing this because I thought Norah O'Donnell asking this question was the most unprofessional thing imaginable under the circumstances. And I just wish she hadn't, or they'd edited it out or something. Unfortunately, this clip has made all the news, and here goes. Okay, so the president has just had an assassination attempt on him within the last 24 hours. Right? From Saturday to Sunday. And this is the question that Norah O'Donnell on CBS, who I like a lot and think is a great journalist normally, but she's had some moments, some pretty high-profile moments of failure. But here goes.
The so-called manifesto is a stunning thing to read, Mr. President. He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this quote, "Administration officials, they are targets." And he also wrote this, "I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes." What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and they'll probably, I read the manifesto, you know, he's a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I was
never,
excuse me. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace. But go ahead. Let's finish the interview.
The other thing that he wrote in
You're disgraceful.
You're disgraceful. Agreed. Unbelievable. Oh, well, she was just reading it because it's about Epstein. Oh, you think it's about you? Please. A more fraudulent display of faux shock I've never seen. Unbelievable. The things... Why are they reading the manifesto? Who cares? He's a lunatic. Who cares? Well, let's look at his allegations. A man was willing to undermine the election, attack the Republic by trying to assassinate the duly elected president of the United States, and we're going to read his words to listen to his side of the story or something? It's insanity. Use some judgment, lady.
I mentioned that because, again, as his motive, you brought this up, he had social media accounts that had anti-Trump and anti-Christian rhetoric.
Why don't you read all the anti-Trump? Why don't you read it? You just did, so why don't you read it?
Well, he had a lot of anti-Christian rhetoric. He was part of a group called the Wide Awakes. He had attended a No Kings protest in California.
No Kings. Yeah.
What did security tell you about motives?
The reason you have people like that is you have people doing No Kings. I'm not a king. What I am, if I was a king, I wouldn't be dealing with you.
Wow.
I love
that. That was...
You know, the president annoys me a lot and says things that I think are outrageous a lot, but I kind of love that. If I was a king, I wouldn't be dealing with you. with her head. Just, you know, get her out of here. Oh, that just cracks me up. Okay. All right. So anyway, toward the end, you know, I actually thought this was a fairly interesting observation, is all the people in the room who have been connected to assassinations because they're family members, right? RFK Jr., for example, right? And, you know, Erica Kirk, you know, and thought that was an interesting question.
Also at the dinner last night was your secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah. His sister, Carrie Kennedy, was there. They've both witnessed their father and their uncle be assassinated.
That's right.
Erica Kirk was there. The House Majority Leader, Steve Scalise, was there.
Yeah.
Political violence has touched so many people in that room. Is there something that you as president can do? What can be done to change the trajectory?
Well, you know, you go back 20 years, 40 years, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years. It's always been there. People are assassinated. People are injured. People are hurt. And I'm not sure that there's any more now than there was. I do think that the hate speech of the Democrats, much more so, is very dangerous. I really think it's very dangerous to the country.
In general, you know, what am I always trying to encourage you to do? Have civility, understand the other side. It is okay to make fun of people's ideas when they're silly, but you should also show that you understand them first, you know. That's what gives you the credibility to make fun of an idea, is the fact that you understand it first. It was an interesting interview. I didn't finish it. I only got through the first segment of it last night, but I thought that was plenty enough for today. 725 News Radio 92.3. Next hour, we'll talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson at 8:10. And, of course, he used to work protective detail for President Reagan in the Air Force. So I'm sure he will have comments about all of this. Right now, traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We're back rolling accident-free right now, but still dealing with the traffic light that's out at 9 Mile Road and Fowler Avenue. So definitely use caution in that area for that traffic light being out. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, almost new but not brand new. You know, they've had one or maybe two owners. They probably don't smell as much like a new car, although they might still. I don't know. You know, 12,000 miles isn't all that long. You know, we bought our Honda Odyssey from them when it was a year old and came back from an auction in Orlando. It had been a year lease on a corporate lease, and it came back, and they couldn't sell it for whatever reason. I don't know why. They had a strict policy that at 90 days, it goes up for auction. It did. Frontier was in Orlando. They bought it. They brought it back to us, and we got a sweet deal on a one-year-old, almost brand-new, we called it our unicorn because they were so hard to find, Honda Odyssey, and we've loved that car ever since. And that's what I'm talking about. They just buy good-quality cars, and then they sell them to you at good prices. And then they warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whatever comes first, but look at all the different cars you can look at in one place at Frontier Motors. 300 on the lot, and if they don't have what you want, hey, you know, give it a month. It may come in, but also they'll go looking for you. They go looking for people all the time for cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's strength for life.
It's okay to be angry. Godly parents should be lovingly angry with their children when they make sinful choices. Christian citizens should be righteously indignant over the rapidly increasing carnality of our country. Individuals should be personally angry when we do things that we know we shouldn't. Anger is often a right and God-honoring response, but anger can quickly accelerate into sin and into opportunities for the devil. Ephesians 4 instructs us to be angry, but sin not, neither give place or opportunity to the devil. Anger can easily become unrighteous and self-glorifying. Beware of sinful anger, because that's where the devil can get a foothold and ruin your marriage, destroy your relationships with your children, and wreak relational havoc of various types. So as much as possible, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hands on the Beach happens every Tuesday night at 7 with the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and enjoy the great music while the sun sets over the sand. This week, Chase Mitchell takes the stage. Chase is a Gulf Coast native and toured nationally as a child and teen, sharing stages with artists like Taylor Swift, Jason Aldean, and Rascal Flatts. We'll see you this Tuesday at Pans on the Beach with the Santa Rosa Island Authority and Cat Country 98.7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryant.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Hey, man, a lot of guys your age are running to surf. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm 25.
And I'm saying it's never too late.
That's right. It's never too late to learn to surf. Unless you're Charlie. 729, because, you know, Charlie don't surf. Right. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David, I mean, if you learned anything from Apocalypse Now, you learned that, right? Go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
Well, Congressman Ro Khanna wants to create a bipartisan commission on political violence after the weekend incident at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. The Democrat telling NBC's Meet the Press yesterday that they should look at everything from social media to mental health issues with a focus on bringing the temperature down.
I mean, we could just ban social media.
I'd be okay with that, honestly.
I mean, if you honestly ask yourself, would we be better off or worse off if all social media and all cell phones, smartphones went away? You do kind of have to admit it'd be not too bad, right?
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop of the White House correspondent. Shooting suspect Cole Allen will face a federal judge.
In federal court today, we expect at least two initial charges. One, using a firearm during a crime of violence, and two, assault on a federal officer with a dangerous weapon. But we do expect more charges to be on the way.
Fox's Todd Pyro, the feds claim Allen tried to shoot up the event with President Trump, the First Lady, and his cabinet in attendance. President called for unity right after the shooter was arrested, but did everyone get the message?
Former President Obama seemed to disregard the obvious. He wrote this in a statement, quote, "We don't yet have the details about the motives behind last night's shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner." He continued, "It's incumbent upon all of us to reject the idea that violence has any place in our democracy."
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 66 degrees, and we've got partly cloudy skies right now. We're going to get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. A Tennessee developer has submitted plans for a 17-story, 271-room hotel on Perdido Key that would be the first new hotel on the island in years after previous ones were destroyed by storms. Heron Hotels says the project is still in the planning stage and financing hasn't been secured as of this point. A site plan, though, was submitted on April 14th and will be reviewed at a future development review committee meeting. Separately, a large mixed-use development called Valencia Square that would include a hotel on Perdido Key has been dormant since a pre-application was submitted back in 2024 with nothing else that's been filed since. A couple of investigations underway. This is after some shooting incidents over the weekend. PPD investigating a incident that happened on Sunday morning after an Escambia sheriff's deputy was flagged down on the interstate by a vehicle that had a gunshot victim inside. That woman was shot in the back. She was taken to West Florida Hospital. Following that, a SWAT team responded to a home on North 17th Avenue. PPD executed a search warrant there. No suspects have been named in that incident. Also, one man dead and two others wounded after a shooting outside of the 850 Event Center on Delano Street. That happened Friday night. Deputies say they responded to the scene and found a man in the parking lot with multiple gunshot wounds. He died at the scene. A woman was also hit by a bullet. She was treated and released at a hospital. And a third victim was dropped off by a black vehicle at the hospital, a vehicle that had also been seen leaving the scene of that shooting. That victim has also been treated and is expected to survive. No suspect's been identified, and the investigation into that incident is also ongoing. Amtrak's Mardi Gras train partially derailed yesterday after west of Mobile after striking a trailer that was stuck on the tracks on Highway 188 at a crossing near Highway 90. The train's front wheels apparently left the rails when the train hit the trailer, which was loaded with two vans. The passenger train was leaving Mobile for New Orleans. Several crew members were hurt, but none seriously, and none of the 48 passengers on the train were hurt. The train was returned to Mobile, where passengers boarded alternate transportation to get to New Orleans. Florida Senator Rick Scott calling on Democrats to fully fund the Department of Homeland Security after Saturday's shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Scott posting on X that funding DHS and the Secret Service should not be a political fight, after another assassination attempt on the president. It's 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick look at our forecast.
We will be seeing a beautiful day today with a small 20% chance of some rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, 20% chance of rain, high near 83. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Keeping partly cloudy skies around on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 84. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
66 and partly cloudy. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Back to rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
7:35, our next news at 8. We've got breaking news. Anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Homari with your money now. It costs how much to date? Half of single Americans say they are going on fewer dates or choosing less expensive activities because of rising costs. BMO's 2026 survey says that Generation Z adults spend, on average, $205 per date. Industry experts say the conflict in the Middle East has disrupted supplies of crucial raw materials and pushed up prices of the printed circuit boards used in almost all electronic devices. The disruption is a fresh blow to electronics manufacturers, which are already grappling with soaring memory chip costs. A group of U.S. budget airlines, including Frontier and Avelo, is seeking $2.5 billion in U.S. government assistance in exchange for warrants that could be converted into equity stakes. The Wall Street Journal reports chief executives of several low-cost carriers met with Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and FAA Chief Brian Bedford in Washington last week. Futures are mixed after Iran peace talks fell apart again. That's your money now.
Imagine your whole family together at the beach. Kids in the pool, grandparents relaxing on the porch, and no one stuck in a tiny condo. Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach is a large 9-bedroom, 8-bath home with a heated private pool, big game porch, and space for 26 adults. You're close to restaurants and activities, but with plenty of room to cook out, hang out, and make memories without fighting crowds or elevators. Casa de Luna is ideal for family vacations, church groups, sports teams, or any big gathering that wants comfort and privacy at the beach. Ask about locals-only special rates on select weeks and weekends this year. Call 850-485-7222 now and lock in your dates. That's 850-485-7222. Then visit CasaDeLunaPensacola.com to see photos, details, and the link to the VRBO listing. That's CasaDeLunaPensacola.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
These flock cameras continue to violate our rights and invade our privacy. In an article posted by TC Palm, these cameras have been used to track No Kings protesters. So now not only are our Fourth Amendment rights being violated, but now we're being tracked for doing our First Amendment right to protest.
Huge fan of the First Amendment. It's one of my favorite amendments, as well as the Fourth Amendment and the Constitution as a whole. We police how the city of Pensacola wants to be policed from a subject matter expert point of view. I am ensuring that those constitutional safeguards are there.
So we're done here, though, right? No, not really. But Eric Winstrom, new chief of Pensacola Police, freshly minted with his law enforcement certification in Florida the day before on Wednesday. We had him on the show on Thursday morning. I was talking with him about the flock cameras, and you know, I had suggested to him, hey, maybe go to a city council or have a special meeting where they talk about this issue and answer the questions. And I know that the people who are there are not always interested in serious debate, but maybe it's something you could do. And I don't know whether he did this because I suggested. I don't assume that. I mean, he may have been going anyway as the chief of police. But it turned out that he was able to do that Thursday night. I thought he did a great job, excellent job. You know, the socialists were up there, and I mean, they are the people for liberation and socialism, so I'm not exaggerating. They wear red shirts. Comrade. So, I mean, you know, they're not hiding it. And kudos to them. I always say that. Also, kudos to them for participating. They're not bashful about what they believe. I mean, misguided, and they need a good logic course, sure, but not, you know, I always praise people for participating. And they have been saying some generally outrageous things, you know, some rooted in truth, some rooted in exaggeration, none of them rooted in great reasoning, no balance in the presentation, but that's fine. You're not obligated to be balanced. I mean, I think you're better if you do. But anyway, for the last like 3 months, I've been screaming about this at city council. And so Eric Winstrom is there to answer questions. And, you know, that was a little back and forth between one of the gals, Alex Hatley, and then Eric, Chief Winstrom. And then he was there to answer questions. Well, who's going to ask questions? Charles Bear to the rescue or something.
First of all, are you saying that flock can't be abused by our police department?
No, not at all. In actuality, the truth is that I hire only human beings, and every police department in the country hires only human beings. And just with all the other sensitive databases that I and my sworn officers have access to, ones with, as I stated, exponentially more private information than when a license plate has crossed a physical plane, that is abusable, which is why one of the things that you'll see in the draft policy, which will be coming out, is an audit system, which we will have in place. New, since the concerns have been brought up this year of flock, is a requirement that not only a public safety nexus is documented, but a case number is documented so that I can go back and find out whether you're a Pensacola police officer or a Escambia County Sheriff's deputy that's using our system because we allow you to do it for your investigation. I can audit that and say, please explain to me why you ran this plate so that if there is a complaint, we can follow up on it, but also so that we can simply audit it in, as we have anything. We have access to a lot of very sensitive information, and there have been police officers who have gone to prison because of abuse of that, and I certainly will not tolerate that in the Pensacola Police Department or anyone that has access to our database.
Man, I love this answer. Are you saying that there's no potential for abuse? Of course there's potential for abuse. It's humans. You give them a gun, there's potential for abuse. You give them a taser, there's potential for abuse. You let them ram cars, there's potential for abuse. Of course. Just like anything else. But what we're doing is we're putting safeguards in place, and we've got an auditing system, and we've adapted the rules based on the concerns. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that those incidents are rare or don't happen at all. I love this answer. It's such a good answer. And it does my favorite thing, which is admit the concern. Yes, we only hire humans. Therefore, humans can make mistakes. Therefore, it is always a possibility and we should do our best. But you can't build public policy around only the exception. That's it. You can't build public policy around only the exception. That's news to the protest or the flock opponents. The few cases, relatively speaking, compared to the, not that there's only two or three, but compared to the number of queries, the few cases of abuse, you can't build public policy around only those cases of abuse. That's not a way to approach public policy, not ever.
How many people have access to the flock camera data at the police department?
As of today?
Yeah, as of today.
Two.
Two? Okay. So the average police officer can't go access that?
Not of this time. They will. Anyone that wants access will have to read the policy, agree to the policy, comply to the policy, understand the policy, and then they will be subject to those audits, which I discussed.
So any officer then could have access to it?
Any officer with a an investigative role, any officer with a role that is appropriate for it, an officer working just to, you know, in evidence, an officer working the front desk, that would not be appropriate. Someone that is tasked with actively investigating things, that would be a yes.
But they wouldn't have to have an active investigation going on at that
they
time.
They absolutely would. They would have to have it. Yes, sir. Okay. They would have to have an active investigation. And I would limit it to criminal, but we also use it for missing persons.
So this is a great line of question and answer, because part of the input for the query is, you know, and that's is all kept. All the data for the searches are kept, right? That's a key part of searching databases is, you know, who are you? Why are you searching? What's your agency? And there's a comment line in there. And a lot of times, according to the T.C. Palm articles that had come out, you know, officers were not entering explanations, or the explanations weren't really relevant, or they'd have emojis. I mean, it's not all that common. But what he's saying, what Winstrom is saying is, well, in Pensacola, you've got to have a case number. And only people who need to be querying the Flock database are able to do it. And if they ever violate that, they're going to lose that access. And it should only be connected to an investigation or like a missing person, which is a very relevant, quick use of the Flock camera system is to find like Amber Alerts and things like that. So great line of questions. And, you know, that's the whole idea.
How many people have access?
We do not use it, of course, for tracking protesters. I've talked to the No Kings protesters up when they had the most recent protests up there. I love protests. I come from two police departments with a big protest culture. No matter what side you're on, we treat every protest like it's a pro-police protest. That's the mindset that I want my officers to portray.
By the way, I love that. Every protest you have to treat as if it's a pro-police protest, because it is a pro-constitution protest. And yeah, I love that attitude. And I come from a culture of protest where we've had law enforcement agencies who believed in that and supported that. I mean, again, he's not just there to enforce the freedom of the protesters or, you know, for whatever reason that he dislikes. He's, and most cops that I know are of this same opinion. Like, I'm there to protect something that I cherish about this country. I love that they can say horrid things. That's part of why I do this job.
Certainly, I never want to have any chilling effect whatsoever. And I think because of the limited, very limited information that the Flock cameras collect, as compared to so many other, as compared to a cell phone, as compared to so many other databases out there, this is not an intrusion. And certainly, we have no reason to celebrate all protests as long as they're peaceful.
You're protesting about the wrong thing. There are other ones you could protest about that are so much worse. We don't have those. And absolutely, I'm in favor of protests. We're not using it for that, because there had been reporting that had been used elsewhere for some of the No Kings protests. He's like, yeah, we don't use it that way. We will not use it that way. I wouldn't be a cop in a department that used it that way. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 12-minute delay, and also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, experiencing about an 8-minute delay through that construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So back to this conversation with Eric Winstrom, the new chief of police, and Charles Baer at the Pensacola City Council on Thursday, where once again the socialists had shown up to protest the Flock cameras.
And then the final thing, you mentioned LexisNexis. As far as I'm concerned, they don't have cameras. I've never heard of a LexisNexis camera.
They draw from so many, but in no offense to LexisNexis. It's a valuable tool. There's other Accurant. There's other, there's cameras on tow trucks. There's cameras in parking garages. There are so many cameras. You are always on camera. There was a time when I worked in the Chicago Police Department that there was square miles of downtown. You were always on camera. We do not use facial recognition system here. We don't have the ubiquity of that amount of surveillance in the city of Pensacola. I would be uncomfortable with that. I don't think it's inappropriate. So it's just a different level here.
I wouldn't want that kind of policing to be done.
As I said, I care very much about the Constitution, but I also care about civil liberties and about privacy. That's important to me. My family lives here. I am not comfortable with a city that tracks protesters. I would not be the chief of police in a city that tracks protesters. I am not okay with that. Okay.
Love that clarification. Now, I put these just a little bit out of order because those were on the tracking of protest issues. But previously in the conversation, Charles Bear was asking for more details about who has access to it.
So once the officer has access, though, do they keep it or is only during an active investigation?
They would. So once we permit them access, if it's appropriate, they would keep it for as long as they are in an appropriate role that requires them to be able to quickly, effectively query that information. And it could just as easily be taken away. As I said, I control all the access to it. Yes, me personally, because I'm the chief, but we, Flock ensures that their software ensures that this is all, if I want to limit it just to two people in Pensacola, I can limit it to two people in Pensacola. So if there's someone that falls short of our expectations, whether inside the police department or outside, we will be able to put an end to that immediately.
And even the question about like active investigations, again, Charles, I think sort of maybe didn't quite get everything that Eric was explaining, but still, you know, it's worth hearing the answer.
You said once they had to have an active investigation going on to get access. Once that active investigation is over, do they keep access, what I'm asking?
While access may be kept, the only way that you would be able to query is to, when you enter that field of, I want to search Eric Winstrom's license plate, 12345, now is the important part. What is the case number of your active investigation? Put it here so that I can audit it. That's the key. Yes, sir.
Another one of the issues that was brought up a lot. So there's a lot of safeguards built in, particularly here in Pensacola, that may not be true elsewhere, but are true here because of this police chief and this technology, what he believes in. But which, you know, there are times when you might not trust a technology to anybody, but you would trust it to somebody. Or you might not trust it to the worst kind, but you might trust it to most. You know, there's all different kinds of ways you can answer these questions. Also, the allegation many times has been that, you know, Flock gets hacked or Flock cameras can get broken into and all of that.
Then you mentioned that Flock cameras never being hacked. I mean, you said that Flock's never been hacked. So you're saying that Flock, the entire company, has never been hacked.
That's correct.
Okay. I find that hard to believe. But
well, given your expertise in law enforcement matters, Charles, man, just... Shh. Every once in a while, keep your yap shut, bro.
I find that hard to believe.
You're calling him either a fool or a liar. Your brand new chief of police just sat there and told you to your face what his answer was based on his expertise, and you said you don't believe him. He's either stupid or lying. My word, the audacity.
And you're saying that the cameras themselves cannot be hacked.
So I don't work at Flock. Right. However, not only have I been assured from attorneys at Flock, but their publicly available statement, they would be willing to state, and I'm sure they have stated, well, if not, I'm sure they would, under oath, that they have not been hacked. There have been information releases through FOIA, which people say that's proof that it's hacked. That information has never been hacked.
Okay, and I'd like to see the legal verbiage, that the additional language that was put out.
I'll forward that to you tonight, sir.
I'll just kind of leave that where it is, because, again, I don't mind the rude questions a little, but I do mind you declaring publicly that you think the police chief is either dumb or lying when he says that they haven't been. I mean, he's putting his professional reputation on the line to say it, that he said he knows not just from talking to them, but also from what he knew before talking to them. And he has talked to them. I mean, Charles, like, what are you doing? You know, based on your vast knowledge, okay, all right. And then this was actually a really good part of the conversation, because the other claim among many that the socialists have been making is that there's no connection to the opioid money, that this was all funded for by opioid settlement money, and that there is no connection between opioid abuse and Flock cameras. So Jen Brer is going to ask the question and get applauded a little prematurely by the audience, who are so thrilled that she's making their point, although she's not, she's asking the question.
In those various usages that you have been involved with, how often are Flock cameras used to stop an opiate overdose?
Well, okay. Oh boy, this is a very, I don't think it's too early to applaud for me, but I'll tell you, the nexus in my experience, in especially in the city where I spent most of my career, in the city of Chicago, the nexus between violent crime and opioid issues is extremely, extremely tight. We have used in my past agency the Flock system to interdict shipments of fentanyl coming in from out of the area. So it is an invaluable tool in, I don't want to say the war on drugs, because if anyone who's heard me talk, I'm uncomfortable with how the war on drugs was waged. But I know that those people who say that drugs are a victimless crime have never had a loved one that's died of an overdose. So it is a very valuable tool for the violent crime with a nexus to the opioid crisis and for the interdiction of drugs themselves. So I think it's a very valuable tool for
that. It helps us stop drug trafficking. We know that drugs and violence are tightly connected. This is absolutely all connected.
So you think it absolutely is used to avoid overdoses?
Absolutely. I can tell you, we had a semi-truck come into my last, the biggest one. It might have been the biggest seizure in Michigan history, where we measured it, and it was enough fentanyl to kill every single person, over 200,000 people in the city of Grand Rapids. And that was through the use of the Flock system, finding this vehicle, which we knew it was coming to the city, but we didn't know where it was and wouldn't have known but for the use of ALPRs.
It was a fantastic presentation, a fantastic rebuttal to the months of poor arguments, some with merit, but often poor or exaggerated arguments being made by the socialists and some others as well. But I was glad he did it. The one thing that was disappointing is that afterwards the socialists got up and spoke more, and then they just treated it like it didn't even happen. A couple responded, but for the most part, they just went on with their speech, which was very disappointing. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that economic development is about building our economy for all our current and future residents? And this traffic report is presented by Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, experiencing about an 8-minute delay in that area, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 6-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. You know, we always talk about Pensacola Hardware as a great place to buy hardware and supplies and get advice on how to solve, you know, building and remodeling construction issues. Yeah, absolutely true. Okay. You know, commercial construction supply, absolutely. But also housewares. Like, the front of the store is filled with, you know, gumbo pots and cookware and cast iron skillets. And you know, they've got a laundry detergent, which is unbelievable. I can't even tell you. It's fantastic. Anyway, but, you know, SEC merchandise and just all kinds of cutlery and cookware and all kinds of housewares. So it's a great place to buy gifts for yourself, for somebody else, or, of course, to buy hardware. 175 years in business, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And who is the creator?
The creator is that which created Vijaya.
Who is Vijaya?
Vijaya is that which seeks the creator.
You know, I never liked Star Trek the Motion Picture all that much in the first maybe 5 or 6 times I saw it. And I just watched it again recently. It's actually a whole lot better than I realized. It's quite good. It's a little slow. A little slow. But all right. 7:58, News Radio 92.3 or 9 almost. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the suspect in the correspondence dinner shooting incident is expected in federal court today. NBC News reporting that Cole Thomas Allen had sent family members a note just minutes before the attack saying administration officials were targets, prioritized from highest ranking to lowest. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche, of course, saying that Allen traveled by train to Washington, D.C., checked into that hotel a few days before. Well, I don't know if I have time for any other ones. So, yeah, we'll get those
Sheriff
next time.
Bob Johnson's coming up. He used to work protective detail for Reagan in the Air Force. I'm sure we'll talk about the incident in D.C. over the weekend. By the way, I drive Burgess Road every day. They just put in flock cameras. That's brilliant. I love it. I think it's great.